Hello, this is Dave with the News Gazette for Saturday and Sunday, July 25th, 26th, 2026. We'll begin today with the article on the front page titled, Arco's Last Ride. This is from the Champaign County Sheriff's Office. Retired canines partner, law enforcement community, preparing a fitting farewell. This is by Abasola Dahunsi, Homer. During one of their very first major tracking calls, then Champaign County Sheriff's Deputy Chad Beasley stepped out of his squad car to brief his fellow officers. Inside, an excited canine grew frustrated, waiting to get to work. By the time Beasley opened the squad car door, his new partner had chewed through part of the roof and shredded the vehicle's airbags. That canine was Arco. Beasley, now a lieutenant with the sheriff's office, recalled this week how he had to phone his boss and say, "Yeah, so this happened." "He was just so amped up to work," Beasley said. "He was destructive, but he was reckless in the best way. He worked really hard, had really high drive and a lot of energy. Before he became a seasoned protector of Champaign County streets, and long before he settled into retirement, eating hamburgers and basking in his ventilated kennel at Beasley's home or residence, Arco was a one-year-old Dutch Shepherd with a point to prove. He had just arrived in East Central Illinois from a breeder in West Virginia, practically bursting with raw, chaotic drive. When he was paired up with Beasley in 2013, the energetic police dog made his intentions clear right out of the gate. "I can take you," Arco seemed to be saying. "He was a very hard dog," Beasley said, clarifying that the canine is hard-headed, not necessarily aggressive, and there was a lot of, "No, I'm in charge," early on. That initial battle of wills quickly forged an unshakable 8-year partnership in the field. Together, Beasley and Arco tracked missing people, sniffed out hidden narcotics, searched buildings, and protected fellow deputies across the county. Now, after 13 years of life, 8 of those in active police service, and nearly 5 years of well-earned retirement, Arco's final shift has come to a close. On August 14, law enforcement officers from across the region will gather to give the retired canine an apt send-off. A police procession dubbed Arco's Last Ride will escort the veteran dog from Homer through Sydney and finally into Urbana, where he will be peacefully put down due to his declining health. "The decision was a heavy one, but it was necessary," Beasley said, thinking back to earlier conversations he and his wife had about the dog's weakened state. Age and severe arthritis have caught up with the once indefatigable working dog. In recent years, Arco's back legs had begun collapsing, making it nearly impossible for him to walk. "His condition's not going to improve, and it's not fair to him," Beasley said. "It was a very hard truth to face. Having that dog as a partner, you don't know what they may have saved you or someone else from. He's part of the family." Forging a partnership. When Beasley selected Arco in 2013, he knew he wasn't picking a traditional family pet. Full-service police dogs require intense daily conditioning and come with an innate, relentless work ethic. Beasley noted that while Arco has been good with me because of his breed, he probably would not be good for somebody who doesn't have experience with high-drive dogs. "If you don't give them a task, they'll tear your house up. They need a job." Over the years, Arco earned a reputation for his fierce and audacious work ethic. He acquired a distinct physical trademark of silver titanium crowns fitted over teeth that he had broken during intense training and field deployments. Yet off duty, his favorite reward was simple: a rubber Kong toy on a rope or a shredded piece of fire hose for a game of tug of war. When Beasley was promoted to sergeant in October of 2021, Arco officially hung up his harness. The timeline aligned naturally. Most full-service working dogs retire at around age 8 or 9, said the lieutenant, who added that he was shocked Arco lasted as long as he did. Beasley officially adopted his partner, bringing him home to Homer to spend the rest of his retirement years as a companion. A special bond. While putting down a family pet is always painful, Beasley noted that saying goodbye to a working canine carries a distinct weight that resonates deeply within the law enforcement community. That dog has been with me every single day at work, 24 hours a day, Beasley said. I always joked that he was with me more than my wife. Every day he'd see the uniform come on, the squad car come, and he'd jump right in. To honor that bond, area law enforcement agencies and community members are coming together for a final tribute on August 14. Participating officers and fellow canine handlers will assemble at 9 a.m. at the Homer Village Hall parking lot to share stories and pay their respects. A procession of squad cars will depart Homer an hour later, traveling west through Sydney toward A&E Animal Hospital on Windsor Road in Urbana. Upon arrival, officers will form an honor guard line outside the clinic as Beasley walks Arco inside one last time. It's going to be emotional, to be honest, not only for my family, but for myself and those that do canine work, Beasley said. He was part of the team, and he was looking at us as another officer. It's hard, but it's the right thing to do for him. Continuing inside the front page, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rossow. There's no bigger Unity Rockets fan around than 9-year-old Caitlin Humer. Turns out, the high school kids enjoy rooting her on, too. At the annual Tom Jones Challenger League All-Star Game, her family and fans showed up in droves, filling a section at Eichelberger Field in Urbana. Better yet, her on-field buddy was Dane Eisenmenger, one of her favorite Rockets, and now a freshman quarterback at Illinois. Caitlin, a fun-loving fourth grader at Unity West, is a regular at high school football, basketball, and baseball games. Coaches welcome her presence as she provides a boost in both player morale and home field advantage. She cheers very loud and boisterous, said her dad, Chris. Let's just say she's very supportive. Chris visited our newsroom for a front page poster showing Caitlin's interaction with Unity football players on a fist bump Friday last fall. It shows her surrounded by Rockets, including twins Braden and Tyler Henry, her best friends, dad said. Like Eisenmenger, Braden and Tyler will play college sports at Danville Area Community College, which means Caitlin will be busier than ever. I'm guessing we'll be headed to U of I football games and DAC baseball games too, Chris said. And in history, area history, in 1926, after a week and a half, the strike of the Building Trades Council has been called off, and work on the new library at the University of Illinois will start back up. All of the council's demands were granted. The strike began when the Reliable Heating and Plumbing Company breached its contract by placing non-union steam fitters on the job. That company has been removed from the contract, and the union workers will now work directly for the university. In 1976, Keith Volgman, attending his first meeting Wednesday as a student member of the University Board of Trustees, was received with a word of praise from President John E. Corbally. Corbally thanked Volgman for his efforts in winning support for the student-to-student grant program in the Illinois General Assembly, which added $250,000 for the program to the Illinois State Scholarship Commission appropriation. State matching funds for the program were approved by Governor Daniel Walker, although his March budget did not include any money for the fund. Volgman also successfully sought the endorsement of the Illinois Board of Higher Education, which he said was the key to Walker's approval of the program. In 2011, three members of a Champaign family killed in a plane crash near Rantoul are being remembered as vibrant, energetic, and generous people. Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrup said he cannot confirm their identities, but family friends have said John Burkett, 56, his wife Dana Burkett, 47, and their daughter Morgan Burkett, 19, were killed when the single-engine plane Mr. Burkett was flying went down south of the field shortly after takeoff from the Rantoul Airport. And from our communities, from Willard Airport, article titled, United Service to O'Hare Delayed Again to Fall 2027. This is by Jana Wersema. Savoy, United Airlines flights between Willard Airport and Chicago's O'Hare International Airport, originally slated to begin in late April, have been pushed back yet again and may not launch until the fall of 2027. Willard announced Friday morning that United will not begin its service to and from O'Hare in October as planned due to the Federal Aviation Administration's continued flight schedule cap at the Chicago airport. Restrictions at O'Hare are now in place until October 2027, said Tim Bannon, executive director at Willard. So unless the FAA lifts those restrictions prior, that's what we're looking at. Willard officials wrote in a Facebook post that United Airlines has shared it remains committed to serving the Champaign-Urbana community and hopes to begin the route once FAA restrictions at O'Hare are lifted at a future date. Customers with existing reservations should reach out to United Airlines directly. American Airlines flights between Willard and O'Hare continue to be available. And continuing with Kathy's mailbag, who's second in command at the county clerk's office? The Champaign County clerk was recently indicted on federal charges along with his wife, a state legislator. As a former volunteer election worker, I know special training and preparations must take place on a fixed schedule well before the November 3 election. Who will manage the election if Clerk Aaron Ammons needs to be out of the office for some length of time? The answer is, I have no intentions of being away for any extended period of time leading up to the November election, said Aaron Ammons, Champaign County clerk and recorder. During vacations, illnesses, conferences, or any time I'm out of the office, Chief Deputy Angie Patton, who has been with the office for 7.5 years, is second in command. We also have Chief Deputy Tony Caesar of the Recording Division, who has been with the county for over 20 years, as a vital member of the admin team. To be clear, elections in Champaign County do not rest upon my shoulders alone, he added. I rely on our experienced staff of 4 in the election division who do everything from train election judges, process vote by mail, and secure polling locations. It is our collective efforts and experience that allow us to administer fair, free, and accessible elections that have resulted in 100% accuracy of all votes counted for the last 13 elections in Champaign County, Ammon said. When he was elected in 2018, he learned immediately that single points of failure were not in the best interest of the taxpayers. I made a conscious decision to make my non-bargaining team more inclusive and to increase cross-training in the office to ensure backups for everyone. Further, I saw the need for the hardworking members of the AFSCME in the Elections Division to have more agency and input in how we run elections. We rely on our experienced staff, trained election judges, movers, drivers, and our common knowledge to administer fair, free, and accessible elections for the citizens of Champaign County. In federal arraignment court on July 16, State Representative Carol Ammons pleaded not guilty on 8 counts of wire fraud, 1 count of providing a false statement to an FBI agent, and 1 count of conspiracy to obstruct justice. Aaron Ammons pleaded not guilty on 1 count of conspiracy to obstruct justice and 1 count of obstruction of justice. Prosecutors allege that Carol Ammons misused campaign funds to benefit herself and her family, used state grants to benefit herself and her daughter, and conspired with her husband to impede the investigation of the alleged fraud. And the next question is, I see equipment and construction materials in the parking lot at Washington and Walnut Streets in Champaign. Is that in preparation for phase 2 of the downtown plaza project, or is the current owner finally doing something with the former News Gazette building on Main Street? Answer is, nothing shaken at the former News Gazette building as far as I know. It has been vacant since Laura Kelman bought it at auction in 2020, after the newspaper's previous owners declared bankruptcy. The newspaper office is now at 2101 Fox Drive in Champaign. The equipment and materials that are being gathered in the parking lot at Washington and Walnut Streets are indeed for Phase 2 of the Downtown Plaza Project, according to Champaign Public Works spokesperson Chris Kester. Work on that next phase in the current parking lot at Neal and Washington Streets is set to begin on August 3rd. Phase 1 of the plaza, which is just north of where Neal Street intersects with Main and Church Streets, was completed in 2025. The next phase of the plaza will include permanent restrooms, a pop jet fountain, a lawn area, specialty lighting, artwork, swings, benches, reconstruction of the intersection of Neal and Hill Streets, and reconstruction of Washington from Neal to Hickory Street. As Jana Wiersema reported in December, a city-owned lot south of the Orpheum will be converted into a gateway between the plaza and the large public parking lot at Washington and Walnut Streets. And continuing, I know panhandling is protected speech and that it cannot be banned in public spaces per Thayer versus the City of Worcester. However, I was recently approached inside a supermarket, which, while open to the public, is a private business. Was that protected speech? Brett Kepley, senior staff attorney at Land of Lincoln Legal Aid, said panhandling, defined as persons asking for money from public passersby, is protected from being totally banned by government regulation. But panhandling can be restricted regarding the reasonableness of time, manner, and place. The issue raised by the questioner is whether a person has a First Amendment right to panhandle on private property, which is otherwise open to the public, such as retailers, restaurants, gas stations, hotels, etc.? The answer is generally no. Absent a government law or ordinance for a locality in question allowing panhandling on private property open to the public, a panhandler could be treated as a trespasser on the private property if the owner does not permit the activity. If Kepley's name looks familiar, he regularly writes the law Q&A column in the weekend edition of the News Gazette. And would it be possible to convert parts of Boneyard Creek or Crystal Lake into a swimmable pool? Austin, Texas has such a pool near downtown in their Barton Springs area. Has such a thing ever been considered here? Water Resources Engineer Gregory Biard with the U of I Prairie Research Institute's Illinois State Water Survey says it's unlikely to be feasible, even if the parks had unlimited money to work with. Although some areas of Illinois include natural springs, watersheds near Champaign-Urbana, like those contributing to Boneyard Creek and Crystal Lake, tend to be dominated by urban stormwater discharge and or agricultural runoff, each with their unique water quality challenges when human health is concerned. In Illinois, Biard said, the Illinois Department of Public Health is responsible for regulating swimming facilities. While costs for construction, maintenance, and monitoring for such a facility would likely be untenable in the areas described, your reader is in luck, as in addition to our local public swimming pools, swimming is also available at Willow Pond at Middle Fork River Forest Preserve in Penfield. Champaign County Forest Preserve District Executive Director Lori Pearson confirmed that Willow Pond is the only body of water under CCFPD jurisdiction that allows swimming. Next question, is the Country Inn and Suites still coming to Mahomet? Infrastructure work at the corner of US 150 and Prairie View Road was done, but then nothing more happened. Is it just delayed or no longer happening? Answer is yes. Country Inn and Suites is still planning to move forward, but the developer experienced some delays that have delayed the start of construction, according to Village Administrator Patrick Brown. This reader's question arrived just before last weekend's news broke about a new entertainment complex coming to the same development, Prairie View Commons, on the southeast edge of town. Jana Wiersema wrote about that on Monday online and in Tuesday's print edition of the News Gazette. A bowling alley will anchor the entertainment complex, which will also include a sports bar, a full-service restaurant, an arcade, and more. Spring 2027 was the original goal for opening the hotel. Developer Austin Tabling told Wiersema, we don't have a groundbreaking date set for the hotel yet, but the pre-construction phase is moving along well, and we anticipate having updates soon. Next question, what's going on with the bike path at Lake of the Woods in Mahomet? It looks like they are ripping it out and completely redoing it. Why? Wasn't it just resurfaced 2 years ago? Who's paying for this to be done again already? The answer is Sam M., planning director at the Champaign County Forest Preserve District, told me the portion of the path at Buffalo Trace was resurfaced in 2024, with half of funds coming from the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. Shortly after the resurfacing, some cracks emerged due to underlying issues not related to the recent work. To stem the issue, we've paid through the same grant to have those sections rebuilt with a firmer base underneath. The Buffalo Trace section has been reopened since July 14. Another section from Route 47, passing south of the Botanical Garden to the covered bridge area, is also being resurfaced for the first time since it was built in 1996. We are hoping to have this section reopened soon. Grant funding is largely covering this cost. M said every other portion of the 3.2-mile trail has been resurfaced in recent years, with about 3/4 of the funding through grants, allowing us to take care of our paths while freeing up resources to expand access to nature in all the other ways we do. And the next question is, looks like the Red Roof Inn in Champaign has made a huge investment in roof-mounted solar panels. Was that a local decision, or is it something we're going to see on other red roofs around the country? Answer is, I posed that question to staff at the local Red Roof Inn via phone and email, and to corporate media relations, and neither responded. The familiar red roof is still there at 212 West Anthony Drive, but most of it is covered with solar panels. The Red Roof Inn corporate website describes its Heart for the Planet initiative as the chain's environmental pillar. Chain-wide sustainability initiatives have included replacing single-use soaps, shampoos, and other amenities with bulk dispensers, use of compostable cups in guest rooms and lobbies, and a commitment to using sustainable shower curtains and bath linens. A quick web search suggests solar arrays have been mounted on a few other Red Roof Inns around the country, but I found no evidence of a focused corporate effort in that regard. And the next one is, I have been trying to find out from Circle K why their gas is not branded top tier. The top tier website does not list any of their stations in this area. Can you find out why they do not sell top tier gas? Answer is, Richard Efros, Director of Communications at Circle K parent company, Couchet Tard, said, we guarantee our fuel is high quality and meets all EPA standards. Our fuel comes from trusted refiners and suppliers that use cleaning additives to help reduce emissions and keep engines running smoothly. Our Premier Plus fuel contains twice the cleaning additives, helping clean your engine as you drive and extend its life. We're going to take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for Saturday, Sunday, July 25, 26. Please stay tuned.